Hey, everybody, it's Kat, and I want to welcome you to this episode of Backstory Sessions. I'm joined today by my co-host, Matt. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Kat. Hey, everyone. How are you?
Well, here we are again at the end of a season.
Yep, end of season 11.
It seems like it only just began in a way.
Yeah, these past few months have gone really fast.
They really have. And, you know, I think we can tie that probably into today's guest because, you know, Little House on the Prairie is celebrating 50 years. And that does not, in my mind, seem at all possible that it could be that long.
Yeah, it was, what, 50 years since it came out, right?
Yes. And, I think it lasted 9 seasons.
Yep.
So, really, you know, that's a big part of your childhood, really, if you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, if you watched it religiously, sure.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, time is just like that, isn't it? I don't know. I mean, in some ways, it seems like another lifetime that I watched Little House on the Prairie, you know, like, now I watched it as an adult in the reruns and things like that. But, you know, it just, then other times it's like, you know, wow, that can't be 50 years. I mean, 50 years.
Yeah, it's like when you see those things like this song turns 30 years old, this, you know, it's like, what?
Yeah, so, you know, and then you turn to the oldie station and...
Yes, the classic.
Yeah, I know. So, it's just amazing, but, I mean, this has been a great season. We've got to revisit Happy Days.
Yep.
And now Little House on the Prairie, which, you know, we have had guests from Little House on the Prairie before, but there's just something special about having Ma Ingalls, and also, you know, in the 50th anniversary.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's kind of interesting. You know, we said this with, like, when we talked to Artemis, it's sort of surreal talking to people that you know, kind of knew growing up, you know?
Yeah, and it's, I don't know. I never, ever, when we started the podcast, thought that we would be, you know, just interviewing pieces of history, really. I mean, these are iconic TV shows and actors, musicians as well we've had that are just, you know, they're a part of history of American entertainment.
Yep, it is pretty cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, it would be great because we're, you know, as we said, this is the end of season 11. We're coming back in a month on Mother's Day.
Yep.
So, you know, this would have been a great coming back on Mother's Day episode too, because, you know, I think Carolyn Ingalls was, you know, she was like the epitome of the mom that you would want to have, you know, on Little House. She was just always so caring and understanding and calm, you know, the whole, like, prairie could be burning up and blowing away, or the savages coming, or, you know, whatever, you know, bears, or, I mean, just everything that she had to encounter, and she just, like, I got this.
Yeah, she was definitely a role model, I would guess.
Yeah. So I'll be curious, you know, like, where did she find that strength for the character? Because definitely, if I saw a bear coming or any of the things she encountered, that would be the end of me. So,
wow.
I was not cut out for the prairie days, let's just say that.
Yeah, I don't know how I would fare either. I mean, I'd miss the internet.
You'd miss more than that. You'd be out chopping wood every
day. Yeah.
And, you know, like how you don't like winter. And I mean, look at the winters they had.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
you had to go out to use a bathroom.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you're certainly not making it easy to like the olden days.
No, but you know, then there's like the quilt. Like, I don't know. Quilts feel so good, you know, of the, it's like snuggly and knowing it was a handmade quilt. And, you know, they had the fireplace and Pa played the fiddle and, you know.
Yeah, it was a lot of work for sure.
Yeah. Hey, maybe, you know, you could play the guitar. So close enough.
Yeah.
But we, you know, besides the stuff that has gone on the podcast, we've both been extremely busy. And so it's, you know, it's kind of like our prairie days, I guess.
Yeah, it's been, yeah, the last four, well, I guess the last 4 months have been extremely busy, as you said.
Yes, very, very busy. And, you know, when we come back, we'll have news about the pitch and if Tri-County Mystery Meets is, you know, successful in pulling out one of the first, second, or third places.
Yeah, yeah, that's coming up in a couple weeks. And you have a new show that's going to be opening tomorrow,
it
right?
It will actually be over when we come back, but the next 2 weeks. New 2 weekends. It is, you know, going to be in Barberville, Kentucky, and then Corbin, Kentucky at the train station. So busy times. The week after that is the pitch. And, you know, then we just have a little chance to like have a breather and
get back to recording.
Yeah, back to recording, back to the next show. We'll be rehearsing, you know, in May. So,
did you write another one or
is so that... we are writing, you know, because we are always having to stay ahead of the game. So, by the end of April, the new script will be written. We'll be having auditions. Then May will be spent getting that together. In June will be performance dates again.
Ooh, what's
and also this time for the first time ever we're having a full-length drama
really
in July.
Boxes, right?
Yeah. So I mean Tri-County Mystery Meets is busy.
what's the next play gonna be, Dana?
And so we want to keep that a surprise for right now until we announce that for the auditions. But, you know, it will be a comedy and it's going to be a lot of fun because we try to make summer, you know, super fun at the shows. So,
well, I mean,
they're all fun in their own way, but we kind of make it like summer fun.
Well, that's cool. So, I mean, as far as backstory goes, by the time we return, we should have some, you know, some new stuff going on. We'll have the website up and running, finally. And
yes.
That'll be interesting. And maybe some merchandise available, t-shirts and that sort of thing for those who are interested in that. And some new theme music, I think, will be ready by then.
It's going to be really cool. I look forward to 12. It's been wonderful, the 11 that we've been able to do. We had great memories, great guests, and, you know, we still like each other, so.
Well, that's kind of key.
Even if you are exasperating, you know, we make it, so.
So this episode is Karen Grassley. Is that how you say your last name?
Yeah, and we are excited to have her.
Yeah, it's going to be a good episode for sure.
Well, you know, let's see what Ma Ingalls has to tell us. And also, you know, she's done so many other things and Little House on the Prairie. And certainly that was a huge career break, I guess. But, you know, she's done a lot of things and we're going to talk to her about those. And she has a book out and, you know, just hear this fascinating story.
Yep. Should be good, as I said. Before we go, I just wanted to thank the listeners for a great season. You know, you're helping us grow, and we really appreciate your continued support. And, you know, we look forward to starting season 12 on Mother's Day. Maybe we'll do something special for that. I don't know.
Well, we should.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see. Mother. We'll have to think of something. So.
And also, Ghana, we have to, like, give another shout out because they have moved into the tie for the number two position.
No, that's true. Yeah, yeah. You know, a little backstory for that. We get a list of countries where the podcast is heard. And I think there's typically 40 something countries that, you know, people listen to us. And so obviously the US is number one. And number two has typically been the UK. And then from there, what's that?
And sometimes Australia would
be cut
there.
Yeah. So for some reason, we don't know why, but Ghana has been hovering around number three or number four. And usually it changes a little bit every month, but this month they're tied for second with England. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. They may be in second now. Ghana,
you know, like, tell all your friends.
Right, yeah. So, anyway, thank you for all, you know, for all the people who listen to us. You know, we do this for you. And, you know, we started it as shameless self-promotion, but I certainly evolved into something a lot more. And, you know, we appreciate the opportunity to entertain you and, you know, tell you some of the backstories of people that you know and even those that you don't know. So, thank you.
Yeah.
And thank you, Kat. I mean, I couldn't do this without you. And, you know, you couldn't do it without me either, so.
I knew I was going to say, am I dying? And then when you said that, I'm like, okay, now I'm good.
Anyway, we'll see you on Mother's Day, and let's talk to Karen and get the backstory of what she's up to.
Right. Sounds great. Karen, I want to welcome you to Backstory Sessions. It is so exciting and an honor to have you as our guest today.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, you know, I have been dying to ask someone this, and you are the first Karen that we have ever had as a guest. So I'm curious. You know, does the name Karen, has that changed, you know, now that people use it sort of as you're being a Karen, do you laugh about that or find it interesting or?
Well, at first I didn't know what they meant. And then I read some descriptions of some women who would fit my description, white, blonde, privileged, behaving in ways that are really embarrassing in public places. And I was given to understand that that's Karen behavior. So I think what happened is that the name became very popular, and the people who are of the description I just made behaved badly, and then it became a thing. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't even think about the pejorative of the name. I love my name, and I think the pejorative sense of it will pass and move on to something else, you know?
Yeah, maybe it'll be Kathy or another name in the future. Well, this is 50 years since The Little House on the Prairie, and I guess I can't believe it's been 50 years. What does this seem like to you, time-wise?
Oh, it definitely seems like 50 years to me.
Yeah.
You know, I've done a lot of living since the first airing of Little House on the Prairie. So, yeah, it's a long time ago for me, definitely.
When you, so the ending, let's talk about that and You know, I guess that was somewhat controversial at the time to blow up the town. Did you know that was going to be the ending? Like, how much in advance did you know that was the way the show would end?
Well, we got the script, you know, so of course we knew. As soon as we were sent the script and invited to do it. And for me, I thought, oh, it's such a shame to blow up all those memories. But that was the decision that Mike made.
Did he ever share, like, why Betty felt that was the direction it should go?
No.
Yes. You know, I guess it's, I don't know, it's just one of those memorable endings to shows. And I was just curious how you thought about that being.
Well, we were sad. We were sad because it put such a final cap on the show. Whereas the Waltons, for example, could go on doing the occasional special for Christmas or some other special event, and there would be a reason for the cast to come back together. But that was clearly not going to happen for Little House. So that was sad, you know, because it was really goodbye. And we were all standing there crying.
Oh, I can't imagine. I'm sure the audience, of course, you know, as we watched it, who did not really expect that to be the outcome. I'm sure a lot of tears there as well. Do you hear, I'm sure you've heard from the fans over the years, you know, do they share your sentiment that it was just such a sad thing to see?
Well, everybody doesn't understand why, you know, everybody wants to know why.
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer to that. In the script, the town would rather blow itself up than let somebody else have it. And so I think that says something about Mike's sense of possession of that set and those buildings.
Well, so recently, was it all of it or a part of it was reconstructed? At least your home, I think.
Well, it was painted on huge murals. The little house, the barn, and some of the town buildings. And then they were stretched and hung up in the places where they existed on the ranch in the old days. And so it looked very real from a distance. Also, what was done were reconstructions of the interiors of the little house and the mercantile. And those were shown in the community center in Simi Valley, in the town, for the fans to be able to go and see what they looked like in scale, you know, which they were very true to scale. So that was quite a nice feature of this celebration that Simi Valley Chamber and a number of members of the cast of Little House put on.
And was that just like last month or very recently, I think?
Yeah, that was about 3 weeks ago.
Wow. How did that feel like walking into the, I mean, was it like walking back in time in a way?
Well, I didn't find it emotional. I found it well done. But I think Good Morning America was filming us, and I think they thought we were going to collapse and cry and carry on when we saw it. But really, we just saw it and said, oh boy, they really did a good job. And, you know, looked around and didn't know what to say. Didn't have any lines. So.
Have to write your own.
You know. Yeah. So, yeah.
Was there an object that caught your eye more so than anything else?
Well, yes, there was, because you might remember from the show on the mantle, there was the little shepherdess ceramic that Carolyn carried with her on all of their moves and always would put up on the mantle. And the artist who had painted the beautiful murals also created out of clay and fired and painted a little shepherd, a little shepherdess. So I was very surprised to see her. Not, you know, she didn't look exactly the same, but she was the same idea. And I must say that was one thing that if I had been asked if I would like to have something from the show, I might have asked for the shepherdess or my black boots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was going to be one of my questions, if you did ask to take something when the show ended. But that's a lot of detail, you know. I mean, so, wow, they really did sound like do a very nice job with.
Oh, yeah. They did a beautiful job. There's a man named Eric Carone who lives in Canada who does miniatures of all the little house buildings. They are just exquisite. And they asked him to use his skill in measurement and construction to help build these big facsimiles. So he did, and he enjoyed it very much.
Well, this is just really great. And well, have you stayed in touch with the family or, you know, the children over the years?
Well, what happened was that after, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 years, we began to be invited to reunions at, I think the first one was in Sonora, where we had shot the pilot. And then fans would be invited to come, and we would do panel discussions and answer questions and sign autographs and things like that. And that gave us an opportunity to connect with each other, for me to connect with the now adults who had been the children, and to learn about their lives, and also to hear more about what their experience had been at the time, but that they would not have been able to talk about at the time.
Sure. Well, let's talk about your backstory. Like, go back to when you were, you know, a child. Did you always want to be an actress?
Oh, probably, but I didn't know it. So I loved dancing. I took lessons, and my teacher was very gifted, and we did a lot of performing. I did performances in Sunday school, both singing and being in little plays with a moral to them. At home, I had one of those felt boards that you could put figures on and make up stories. So I would do that. I was just very expressive, you know. I would organize the kids into various kinds of skits. You be the father, you be the mother. This is the setup of the situation. Stuff like that.
And you were a director too, sounds like.
Yeah, I was very bossy.
Well, how did it happen that you decided this was going to be your career?
Well, I had done plays all through middle school, or rather junior high, we called it, and through high school. But when I got to college, the school I had chosen was famous for its theater department, but they had a rule that first semester freshmen could not be in plays. So I was frustrated, and I got busy on the school paper instead. But when I got to Berkeley, I said, okay, now I'm really going to bear down and study here, and I'm going to see if I can get good grades, and going to stay away from that theater department over there by the, yeah, it's very close to the English department where a lot of my classes are. And they'd have a poster saying auditions. And I'd walk by those posters and I'd say, I'm not going there. I'm going to the library and study. And I managed that for probably 2 semesters. And then I did a play. A friend of mine called me up and read the last scene of Look Back in Anger, which was a very hot play at the time. Mm. Was part of the angry generation in England. And I heard this scene read, and the next day I went to the auditions and won the lead female part. And that was basically all she wrote, you know. After that, I went to Pasadena Playhouse in the summer, and at the end of that course, I called my parents, collect, of course, because we didn't all have phones in those days where we could talk forever, long distance.
Right.
And said, I'm not going back to school. I have to be an actress.
And what did they?
My mother was like, this was the death knell. You know, she'd been hoping against hope against this. So she said, now, Karen, we'll discuss it when we come down to see your play. We're not going to discuss this on the phone. I said, no, 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 no. You always said you wanted me to be happy. Well, this is what makes me happy. So they saw that I was just honor bound to do this. Hmm. And then they gave me wonderful support. They were great.
So how do you get from there to Little House? What made you audition for that show?
Well, it's many years, you know. Started in a theater in San Francisco. I went back and got my degree at Cal. I had a Fulbright to Lambda in London. I did repertory theater, stock theater, Broadway. Went back to England, taught, did Shakespeare there. And then I was in Los Angeles to do an independent movie. The movie fell through and I was stranded. I didn't have any more money. I had spent all my savings on this Shakespeare company and I was ready to quit the business. And I got the call to go and see about this new series.
Wow.
That title sounds so saccharine. God, I don't think I like this. And of course, it was my big break.
Did you think ever, at you know, in the early stages, it was going to become as iconic as it has?
No, never dreamed of it. Never, never.
Were you like the character, or was it something that was very different from you?
Oh, I'm totally different, but I have those things within me, and I'm an actress. So I drew very much on my own mother for the characterization.
Mm. Well, that must have pleased her, I would think, you know. That's really an honor, I think, when you have that model, I guess, to pull from.
Yeah, she was an outstanding person.
Well, so, you know, in talking about how you know, would write the plays and direct the people, you know, the children, there must have been a writer in you as well, because now you've gone on to write your own memoir.
Yes, well, when I was a sophomore in college, I was in a writing seminar and I was feeling torn between the writing and the acting. But then when I got into that play, the die was cast. It was so clear that this was where I really felt at home. But over the years, I co-wrote that movie for NBC, Battered, about domestic violence, and always kept journals. And I tried writing various plays and things like that over the years. You know, when you're not acting, then you need an outlet for your creative energy. So I would write. And that held up well for me when it came time to write the memoir, because I had so much in my memory from having written so much down.
Sure. Well, how did you decide of all the things what you're going to include?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I didn't decide at first. I just started writing. Memory after memory after memory as they popped up into my mind. And I joined a class in memoir writing and began to read other people's work and learn what is a memoir. And then I co-founded a writing group, and we wrote memoir together and helped each other improve our work. And some of us took class after class with this one teacher we really liked. And in fact, we are still meeting. We have been meeting for 14 years.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Three of us have published, no, four of us have published books. None of us were writers when we started. So it's a serious little group there. And after writing, a friend of mine in the group said to me, "Karen, do you know what your themes are?" And I said, "No, I have no idea. I'm hoping to find out what they are. You know, I'm just writing. And gradually, themes began to emerge, and I began to understand what the book was about. And it helped a lot, because once you know where you're going, then it's easier to decide what helps get you there and what you have to, you know, let go of.
So was it hard for you to be vulnerable and share like intimate details of your, you know, of your life?
Yes, it was very hard. And I think that's one reason it took so long to write it, was because I had to keep peeling the layers to reveal more, to be more vulnerable. But once it was out there, you know, it was like, oh, okay, now it's all out there. People can make of it whatever they make of it. You know, it was kind of a relief.
I was going to ask if it maybe felt that way, like once you're finally rid of it, you know, once you put it out, then you're free of it, I guess, in some ways.
It's true. And plus, the very fact of writing, we all found very, very healing. Confronting these places in our pasts that you don't bring up at the dinner parties, you know, but that we would share with each other in our writing.
Matt, what do you think?
So I wanted to go back to Little House for a sec, just for one second. Mm-hmm. So you grew up in California and in the, you know, graduated from Ventura High School, I see. And I was just wondering, like, how do you think you would fare as a pioneer woman?
Oh, I would have died young. No, seriously. Those women were tough.
Yeah.
They were tough, you know? I mean, I think it was when I was around maybe 14, 15. Mm-hmm. I had a terrible case of strep throat. Well, in those days, it would have killed you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no
antibiotics. No antibiotics. Yeah. And you know, those buckboards, those are not very comfortable. So as you go bouncing across the land, unimproved land, oh my God. Mm. I was like, as we would do that, Hal Burton was Mike's stand-in and stunt man, and he would drive that buckboard, and oh my God, I would bounce, and I would think, oh, those ladies were so tough. and it's because they were tough, they could actually settle the country.
I was just curious about what you know about that. And then the other thing I saw is that you graduated from Berkeley with a degree in English and drama, and you have that in common with Kat because she used to be an English teacher and drama teacher.
Oh, is that right?
That's true.
Yeah, 20 years or 20, 25 years, I think.
Well, that's wonderful. An English teacher is really something. Hey, I really do feel that way.
Yay!
And then the other thing is, I saw you lived in Louisville in Kentucky for a while.
Yes, you know, there's a very, very well-known theater there called Actors Theater of Louisville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has an international reputation. Where are you guys, actually?
I am in Kentucky, and Matt's in Pennsylvania.
Oh, I see. So you know about Actors Theater if you're in Kentucky.
Yes.
Yeah, so I went there to work at Actors Theater while my child was still in grammar school and was able to live in an ordinary house in an ordinary neighborhood and drive to work at the theater and have my child in school and have almost like a normal life.
Mm.
For an actor, this is something very difficult to achieve, you know?
Yeah.
So it was very attractive to me to go there and have that opportunity.
How long were you there, dude?
6 years.
Oh, cool. And then what was the other thing? Oh, so what is next for you? I mean, we're winding down on time. So
I don't know, Matt. Okay. You know, this is an actor's life. We never know what's next.
Are you still auditioning, or you?
Well, when anybody will ask me, or sometimes I just get an offer to do like an independent movie.
Mm-hmm.
I have one that's available on Amazon called Not to Forget, in which I play elderly, demented lady with a lot of money.
Mm.
And that was a really fun character. So no, I don't know what's next. I was at home about 2 years ago, twiddling my thumbs, and got a phone call from my agent saying they want you to come to Canada and do On Golden Pond.
Wow.
But you'll have to be there next week.
Oh.
I was like, excuse me? Well, it turned out that Michael Learned had been booked to do this play with this company actually before the pandemic. And they'd been waiting for the pandemic to pass so that they could do this production. And they were going into rehearsal next week, so she was home packing to fly to Canada, and she fell and broke her wrist.
Oh, jeez.
So she had to call them and say, I can't come. She was brokenhearted.
Mm.
And so they called me, and I was thrilled. Of course, I felt bad for Michael, but not that bad.
That's funny. All right, Kat, we got time for one more question from you.
I guess, you know, I just wonder, like, as you look back over all the things that you've done in life, you know, do you see the themes? Like, you talked about that for your memoir. You know, what are the themes you see of your life?
Well, I really think I had a commitment to learning and to knowing myself and uncovering what was hidden in the unconscious and in my secrets, and becoming a more conscious human being so that I could be a part of the solution rather than a part of the problem.
Well, it is such an honor that we got to speak with you today. You know, thank you for sharing these stories and your thoughts about the long career that you have and, you know, just like the human side for us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me. I've really enjoyed talking with the two of you.
Come back anytime and see us. We really appreciate you coming back to us.
Thank you.